Great, thank you. If you can send half of those that way. So we've got little sheets for you to look at. There should be enough for one each. You can fill in the words or you can just use the sheet how you wish. And that will help us get to grips with this wonderful story this morning. But before we get on to that, I want to tell you a story of a Chinese pastor. And like many Chinese pastors, he was in prison because of his faith. And he was actually in one of the Chinese maximum security jails. And another thing that you need to know is that in the process of being arrested and being beaten up by the prison guards, his legs were broken and his legs were totally shot. He now could not walk, and the chances of him walking properly again were slim. If he wanted to go to the loo, then other prisoners had to come into his cell, pick him up and carry him down the corridor to go to the toilet, because the way he had been treated and beaten up. But in his prison cell, he got a sense that God was saying to him that he was going to escape from this maximum security prison. And then one of his fellow prison mates, who was also a believer, said the same thing to him. He said, "I think God is going to enable you to escape." Thinking, well, how's that going to happen? And then one morning he thought God saying, "This is the time for you to escape." So he called for the guard and said, "I need to go to the toilet." And so the guard went through the routine, got the other prisoners to come and carry him down the corridor to go to the toilet. As they were going down the corridor, the door that is normally locked at the end of the corridor, remember this is a maximum security prison, was unlocked for someone else to come through the other way. Just as that happened, he walked through the door. The guards didn't seem to notice. And then they were on the third floor, so he then had to go down the stairs, which he did. But it's maximum security prison. Every level of stairs has another security door to go through. So when he got down one flight of stairs, then that door was open and the guard looked at him but didn't seem to see him, and he walked straight through. Down the next flight of stairs, same thing. Next flight of stairs, same thing. Out into the main courtyard of the prison. Many guards, none seemed to see him. He walked across the courtyard to the main gate of the prison, which mysteriously was just slightly open, so that he could walk through out into the main street. Well, now what? But then a taxi suddenly pulls up, opens the door, and the driver says, "Get in." So he gets in, and then he remembers the address of a Christian family in this city where the maximum security prison was. And he says, "Can you take me to this address?" And the driver says, "Sure." Driver takes him off to that address. That address, he says, "Well, I have no money, so wait a moment, I'll go and see if I can get your fare." He goes up, knocks on the door of his family that he remembers, and a family member opens the door and says, "Oh, brother, you and I was expecting you. The Spirit of God told me that you would be escaping this morning." And then he got the taxi fare, paid off the taxi driver, and went into hiding. Well, let's think about that story for a moment. If that was me, I'd be thinking, okay, so how am I going to walk out of the prison with my broken legs? God, you're going to have to heal me first, and I'm going to have to test that out by doing some star jumps and some other exercises in my prison cell. And then, if it's going to be a taxi waiting for, well, how is that going to happen? Can someone give me the number of a taxi company and a mobile phone so that I can check that there'll be a taxi waiting for me as I walk out of a prison? And this family that I would try and go to, is there a way that I can email ahead to make sure that they will be in because I don't want to get there and find that they're out. In other words, if it was me with all my need to plan and have all the details solid and checked and double-checked, I would still be in the prison cell with my legs broken. There would be no escape. But this is a true story. 22 years ago, this guy, by the miraculous grace of God, walked out of a maximum security prison in China. But another story from 3,000 years ago is Joshua. And he is called to lead the whole nation across towards the land that God is promising them. But to do that, they must cross the river Jordan, a river that is in flood. And so what they do is they take the whole people and they take them towards the river, because if you're going to cross an obstacle, logically, you must first go up to the obstacle. You'll never cross an obstacle by not first going up to it, right? So he did that, but then something interesting happened. Towards the water's edge, they camped. And they waited in the camp 3 days. Now think back a couple of weeks when we started this series in Joshua. They had been waiting, going around in circles 40 years. And then through God, through Joshua and his leadership, it's time, get ready, let's go. And they get ready and they break camp and they go. But now they wait another 3 days. What's that about? Well, going forward in God's leading is not all charge at high speed all the time. There are times when God still requires us to wait again. Are you going to get on board with that? Are you going to be able to wait when God requires you to wait? They had to wait. We must learn to do the same. To go at God's speed and not our own speed. Well, a word comes through. God to Joshua, to the people, consecrate yourselves, sanctify yourselves, get ready. Pay attention to your own personal holiness. That's the next lesson. Get ready, because God's going to do this amazing thing before you. And God's going to take you with this amazing act to get you across. Do we think that we can continue to go forward with God doing amazing stuff if we just keep on with the mess of our lives as they are, rather than being honest before God and letting God talk to us about the areas that we need to sort out? Do we think we can just plow on blandly with all the mess of our lives, with a holy God who wants to lead us forward? So pay attention to your own holiness and go forward. And then God says something to Joshua. He says, I'm going to exalt you, lift you up, make you look good, I suppose, in today's parlance, in the eyes of the people. Now let's think, to cross the river, that's going to need a pretty good feat of engineering. That's going to need a wonderful bridge, or it's going to need a fleet of boats. Or it's going to need the amazing grace of God. I will exalt you in the eyes of the people, because it's not about you, Joshua. It's about my grace and what I, as God, will do through you and for the people. Joshua needs to remember that. All leaders need to remember that. I need to remember that. We see in, it's election time with our politicians, we see political leaders do a lot of self-exaltation, don't we? In the States, we see them do a lot of self-exaltation. And I'm sure those of you in the workplace, you've been in a team or a work situation, and a new boss has come in or a new team leader has been appointed. I'm sure you've seen this. And what's the first thing they have to do? They have to kind of somehow assert themselves that they're in charge of the team, of the group. And I'm sure you've seen people do that badly. I'm sure maybe you've seen people do that well. Well, what I would say is you don't have to force yourself on people. You don't have to barge in. You don't have to self-exalt yourself. You just have to lead quietly and confidently in what God will do. Be confident in what God will do. That will be enough. That will be what you need for your reputation going forward. And so they come to this extraordinary point. They come up to the river's edge, and they're told to just go in to the floodwaters. So we're going to get wet here, so I'm going to have to take my shoes and socks off, because excuse the smell, because I don't want to ruin my shoes. So we get to this point, the point they've all been waiting for. I'm not worried about the bottom of my trousers getting wet. So the priests, and they're carrying this ornate box. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. It's a bit of a strange thing. It's kind of symbolic of the presence of God among them. So they're carrying this box, and they get to the water's edge, just get their feet wet. The river's in flood here, so just feel the water around my toes now. It's quite nice, a bit cold. And then what? The river's in flood. They've only been told by God to go to the river's edge and just get their feet wet. If you read it carefully, read the passage carefully, that's the only instruction that God has given them. Go and get your feet wet. That's it. Then what? Now, Joshua seems to have a confidence that God's going to do something amazing with the water, but actually, as the text is written, God hasn't said that. You see, remember the Chinese guy just told, you're going to escape. So he just has to start, like, I need to go to the loo, and start going down the corridor. Are you okay with knowing the destination, the end goal, but not knowing any detail? Are you okay with God taking you forwards? Okay, you know the destination, the ultimate end goal, but are you okay with God taking you forward to that end goal just one step at a time? You don't know any more detail beyond that one step. Are you okay with that? Let's bring up the Ollie, the question, which is on the screen there. You're okay with doing faith just one step at a time? So go up to the water's edge, get your feet wet, that's it. That's the only information you've got. You know that God's going to lead you to the promised land, but how? Well, Joshua and the whole people, they had to be okay with this. The Chinese guy in the prison cell had to be okay with this. Are we okay with this? You see, God has this habit of giving us the vision of the ultimate destination. And it's wonderful. But then not giving us all the detail for steps of how to get there. Which is a bit frustrating for someone like me who likes to have a Microsoft project plan of all the Gantt charts and all the steps laid out and all the time scales and where the resources are coming from. But that's often how God works. He just says, go, next step. So can you get on board with that? Can you get on board with just doing your faith just for the next step? So the challenge is when you're praying with someone or when someone is praying for you about whatever, sure, you might think what the end goal is, that they're completely healed or whatever. But pray or have someone pray with you for just the next step. And then see how it unfolds. Just the next step, and then see how it unfolds. We're so tempted, aren't we, to give God all the steps. God, do this, and then do this, and then do that. Scrap that. Scrap that. Just pray for just the next step, but then see how it unfolds and how the Spirit brings things about. So they get their feet wet, and of course the miracle happens, but then the water flow starts to change. It does start to pile up somewhere upstream, leaving downstream to flow and become dry so that all the people can cross on a dry riverbed. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant come and stop in the middle of a riverbed. It's dry. All the people can file past. And those priests with the ark, this kind of wooden box being overlaid with gold, they stay there until every last person has filed past. I wonder what that is about. Well, is it symbolic that God will stay with us through the whole episode, the whole storm, until it is all past and done with? And for us as a church, as we think about pioneering, let's remember that we want to pioneer, we want to send people out to some new parts of the city, new works, but we want to do that in a way that the whole church, the whole body of the people moves forwards rather than just those people rushing off and leaving others behind. We want to do it at the pace of God together. Well, one other thing that they do is God tells Joshua, get the people, 12 tribes, each tribe, one stone each from the middle of a riverbed, carry it with you across to the other side and make a cairn, a little memorial pile of rocks. What's that about? Well, it's so that in the future when you're visiting, oh, let's go back to the bank of the River Jordan, it'll be nice and sunny and we can paddle and that. And your children says, Mum, what's this pile of rocks for? You can tell the story of what God has done. Remember, just in remembrance, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the importance of remembering what God has done. Are you up for telling what God has done? Simple stories. Remember what God has done. So, little summary. We've been thinking about God leading us out. So, are you okay with waiting? What about your personal holiness? So is there stuff there that actually you need to work on with God? Are you up for God leading you just one step at a time? Are you up for God leading by his grace rather than your bravado? And what about remembering what God has done and being able to tell that to other people? In a moment, we're going to just have a pause, and you might want to hit on one of those points, any one of those, with a person next to you or person nearby, and just ask, yeah, well, I don't do that waiting so well, or There is stuff I need to pay attention to in my life, or maybe on the key question, faith one step at a time. That's hard. That's hard to do. It's hard to not know the next steps and have it all mapped out. So there'll be space in a moment to do that. But let's remember that we as a church here aren't simply a random collection of people. We are called to be the people of God, the people whom God has called together, and to be led forward as the new Israel, the new people. So let's be a people who learn to wait on God and go those next steps, wait as long as he needs us to, and then go forward. Let us get ourselves ready. Let us pay attention to the stuff in our life that needs to be worked on and go forward with that. So let us be led by God and be confident in what he will do. Even though we don't know the next steps, even though we don't know the steps after that. But go forward with a confidence that those will unfold. So, in summary, let us be a people who are prepared to get our feet wet and see what God will do. Why don't we stand together as we pray and respond to this, and then you can turn to your neighbour and there'll be a 5 minutes of music, and you can just pick on any one of those things on the sheet or the key question, or receive prayer and just be prayed for the next step. So Father God, Lord, we want to be a people led by you, but we need to learn to take on board what that means. That actually you will lead step by step in your timing, in your way. So, Lord, help us recalibrate the way we do our life and faith to go with that. But, Lord, in that, may we not shrink back. May we be bold, bold enough to put our feet in the water, get our feet wet, and then see the wonders that you will do. The amazing things as you lead us forward to the ultimate destination that you have for us. May we be your people.